I'm John Gray, and welcome to John Gray's World.
Let's get this out of the way. There is no them and us. Trying to help somebody in the back. Church has for too long judged. Look at what they're doing. Look at that. Why are they here? How come, what are they shouldn't be serving. They shouldn't be doing this. Why are they in front of people? Don't they know what they do? Don't they know what they struggle with? What do you struggle with that we don't know about? What have you done in the past that would disqualify you? God says, I don't care about behavior. I'm just trying to get you in the wedding. I need somebody to worship over here. I don't know what's...
Fresh word, fresh perspective, and a whole lot of hallelujah. John Gray's World. Boom!
Hey, how you doing? How you doing? How your mama doing? How's auntie? Everybody doing well? I'm so glad. Listen, it feels like I say this all the time, but I'm so glad to see y'all again. And I'm super excited about what we're going to get into with the Word of God today. God laid it on my heart to deal with one of the most critical areas you'll deal with in life, your self-esteem and worth. Oftentimes, how you see and think about yourself will give you a different filter on how you see God. If you don't see yourself as valuable, loved, or worthy of love, you'll find yourself seeing God through a judgmental lens. I know this firsthand. You'll think God is condemning you when he's actually trying to lift you up. So today we're going to work on getting you free from condemnation and focus on who God says you are and how much you mean to him. We're going to check the label and focus on who the manufacturer is who built you to be a precious commodity in the earth. I pray this message encourages you. I know it will. Matter of fact, before it gets started, push the DVR button right now. Press that red record button. Call everybody you know, because we're getting ready to check the manufacturer's label. I can promise you, you're going to be blessed to find out who made you. And I'll see you right after. If you'll do me a favor and go to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Reading from the New King James Version. And I'm excited about this word. And as we get there, let me tell you, as you're getting to Matthew 22, I think one of the greatest challenges of believers, and because this is Wednesday night, we're gonna walk through the scripture tonight. Is that all right? I want to make sure that you have some substance, some things that you can chew on, things you can ponder, talk about in your small groups. I want you to have something that you can think on, ponder, build from. One of the greatest difficulties is esteem, value, understanding your worth. Oftentimes, how you see yourself impacts how you see God. What you think about you, whether you know it or not, invariably gives you a different filter on how you see God. If you don't see yourself as valuable, if you don't see yourself as loved or lovable or worthy of love and honor, you will find yourself seeing God through a judgmental lens, that every time you make a mistake, every time you sin, every time you mess up, you're assuming that God is like, I told you, are a mess. You are, I knew it. I don't even know why I even deal with you. And you don't realize that that's not God's heart at all. But it's because of how you see you, and it's hard for you to receive love. It's hard for you to believe the best. There are times when Pastor Joel will speak the word of life when he's praying, and he said, we're accepted, approved, you know what I'm saying? And he would go through all of these accolades and all of these great things that we are. And the first few times, I'm like, Pastor, you talking about you. I'm not there yet, you know? But what I realized is he was absolutely right, because what he was saying was rooted in the word of God, not in my understanding of myself. We get it twisted. We see ourselves through a lens broken, but God sees us perfected and whole. And until we see ourselves the way God sees us, it's going to be very hard for you to declare God's word over your life, because the enemy will be like, you don't deserve that, and you know good and well you shouldn't have that, and why should you be blessed after all the things you've done? And that devil is a liar, and I put him under my feet, and you should put him under your feet, and we're going to get the word of the Lord tonight. You're walking out with some new garments. Tell somebody, fresh clothes, fresh clothes. Here in Matthew 22, verse 1, and I'm reading fast to redeem the time. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding.' But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city." Don't play with the king. Don't mess with the king. That's just point number one. It's not in my notes. I'm just stopping to read. Please, I don't care how bad people think they are. They are not bigger than your God. They better leave you alone. They better leave your kids alone. They better leave your destiny alone. They better leave your purpose alone. Because when they mess with you, they're messing with your dad. And I promise you, he is nobody to play with. He is nothing nice. Don't get it twisted. God does not have enemies. We have enemies. The Bible says, your adversary, the devil. God doesn't have an adversary, because if he had an adversary, it's a possibility that he could lose. He can't lose. That's why he put the devil on our level. He said, "Y'all handle him. He's not even on my level. I need y'all to handle it. I need you to understand, when God gets in the middle of it, it's a problem for the devil. You need to understand the power of your God. I'm tired of us making the devil bigger than what he is. Let's make him small like he actually is. And let's make God big. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." Can somebody give God a magnificent, majestic praise? Woo! God does not have adversaries, Johnny. We do. You think God's, they're trying to get heaven. Devil's trying to overtake heaven. You know, the Bible said there was a war in heaven. Do you really think that heaven was under siege? Come on, it's God. He laughs at stuff like that. Did you really think you'd get him out of here, please? Get him out of here. God didn't even do it. He just had Michael, get him out of here. I don't even have time. I'm too busy being amazing. I'm too busy being omniscient. I'm too busy being omnipotent. I'm too busy being holy. I'm too busy preparing a table for my children in the presence of their enemies. I'm too busy allowing the lamb to be slain before the foundation of the world. I'm already creating provision for people that aren't even born yet. I'm too busy to mess with a devil. Michael, handle that for me. I'm trying to encourage some Christians in here that the devil is not bigger than your God. Don't mess with the king. So he said to his servants, I'm in the eighth verse, sorry, forgive me. I got excited, almost lost my place, but I'm back. The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. Now, you know good and well. How many people have been married in here? Where are the married folk? Happily married. Makes a noise. I'm like, I'm married. I don't know about the happily, because he's getting on my nerves. That's why I'm here tonight, because for real, I was about to smack him, for real, for real. You need to pray for me at the church, all right? Where are the married people? How many people know it's not the marriage that's the issue, it's that ceremony. Who do you invite? Because let's be honest, we don't really care about seeing y'all get married, we care about the reception. Can I get a good amen? I can't stand summer weddings and it's hot. I got on this too little tuxedo. It's hot. I got on these terrible plastic patent leather shoes. And then after standing up there watching you get married, we get to the VFW hall or the Prince Hall or wherever, or the Veterans of Foreign War, wherever you have your reception, Uncle Jimmy's living room, and you got 3 chicken wings, some carrot sticks, and some ranch dressing. You know, how long I waited. I was all ready for some real food, and you hit me with some dry wings and some church punch with some church mints that melt in your mouth and some carrot sticks and ranch dressing. Are you crazy? Where is the real food? Don't play with me. This better be the appetizer. This better be the appetizer. Somebody give me a plate. Chicken breast with some spinach, a little cream sauce. Let me get some broccolini. Let me get some linguine, some magatini, some eeny weeny. I don't care. You better bring some food. It's a wedding. That's what I'm here for. Then I'm ready to dance after that, and then we're gonna do the electric slide. And you understand what I'm saying? Don't act like you that saved, like you don't know to dance. You know what to do. Woo! Or maybe you got married in Texas and you're just kicking your boots around. Or maybe you're Irish and you river dance. I'm tired. He already told you what they feeding you at the reception. Fatted calf. That means ribs. You don't hear me. Ooh wee. Ribs, Jesus. Ribs. He got the spread. This is a wedding you want to go to. But even some of the people that were invited said, shh, whatever. The king said, all right, since the ones that I invited don't want to come, open it up to anybody who will. I'm trying to help somebody in here. You don't think you're good enough. Oh, yes, you are. The king's called for you. Oh, I'm trying to help somebody in a green chair. Or at your living room table or in your kitchen right now on the internet. How you doing? I see you. Put that liquor away. I'm playing. Ninth verse. Therefore, go into the highways and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways, gathered together, watch this, all who they found, both bad and good. Let's get this out of the way. There is no them and us. Trying to help somebody in the back. Church has for too long judged. Look at what they're doing. Look at that. Why are they here? How come, what are they shouldn't be serving. They shouldn't be doing this. Why are they in front of people? Don't they know what they do? Don't they know what they struggle with? What do you struggle with that we don't know about? What have you done in the past that would disqualify you? God says, I don't care about behavior. I'm just trying to get you in the wedding. I need somebody to worship over here. I don't know what's... I'm just trying to get you in the wedding. I just need you to get in, because if I can get you in, the atmosphere will change you. The excitement will change you. The connection to your Father will change you. When you see what I prepared when you were at your worst, it'll change you. We want to put the cart before the horse. We want people to change. Take your hat off. I just got here. I don't even didn't know that. Take it off. You won't get into heaven if you wear a hat in church. Well, now you've scared him, you've offended him, and he's not coming back because he didn't know not to wear a hat in church because he never walked into a church. So before we try to give them law, let's give them grace, let's love them, and then let the word do the work. So both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man who didn't have on a wedding garment. You ever seen somebody dress wrong at the wedding? It's probably your uncle. He just in there with an all white, with a peach colored tuxedo shirt. Just in there like, ha ha! Boy, I'm proud of you, boy. That's a ball and chain. Boy, I don't know, you should have stayed single, not like your uncle. Like, you ain't single because you want to. You single because you ain't got no teeth. But what I'm saying is, There's always somebody at the wedding that's dressed wrong. Some sister in there tried to put on that glitter dress from 6 years ago. You know good and well you two kids and a few pounds away from putting that dress back on, but you thought putting on a premium girdle was gonna help you. Now you can't even breathe. You just in the wedding, just. Can't move. And don't eat. Your button's just like, oh, Lord, help me, I don't know. So watch this. He said, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Seems like a pretty harsh punishment for wearing the wrong outfit to a wedding. Until you understand the culture and customs of Middle Eastern weddings and Jewish weddings in that day. That what you wore was symbolic of what you thought about the people that were getting married. And when you value a thing, you put your best. But the problem is many of us don't feel like we're worthy. And so instead of walking in with a righteous garment that you didn't make, you look at your own life and try to label yourself. And I want you to know that you can't label you because you didn't make you. And what I want to talk to you tonight for the few minutes that I have is check the label. Check the label. So many times I've read that scripture, but I didn't really fully understand why somebody with the wrong garment on would not only get escorted out, but bound hand and foot and cast into outer darkness. But I realized that there was a couple things going on. I heard Dr. Paul say something earlier about the righteousness of God, the righteousness found in Christ. And then Steve saying, Christ alone, cornerstone. And he sang one of my favorite hymns, because I grew up in a little Baptist church in Ohio. And my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ's solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking. Jesus alone makes us right with the Father. His righteousness. And so you have to stop trying to make yourself right with God. Too many people here tonight and at home watching are constantly in a place of defeat because you cannot seem to do right. You try, you do well for a couple weeks. I'm gonna stop doing X, Y, and Z. And you stop when you go back. Reading from Psalm 139, verse 1. It says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there Your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. I want to share tonight from the subject, even there. Even there. Tonight I'm led by the Spirit of the Lord to go in a slightly different direction than what I'm used to. I'd like to share a little bit more of my heart as I bring this message out, if that's all right, because God's just been stirring some things in my spirit, and I feel like there are some people in here who need to hear what I have to say. I could tell by those who just came to me in prayer that there are people that are in some desperate circumstances. There are people here, they're sitting next to you, they may be sitting behind you, and they look well, they look healthy, they look happy, but on the inside there's something that is hurting them in their soul. There is something that is causing pain. They are injured. Many of us attempt to medicate our pain through personal means, which become vices, which can become addictions, which can become habits, some of them destructive. But I want you to know that there is a God who loves you even there. I don't normally read because, I'm just kind of, I internalize what the Lord gives me to speak. But there are some things that I wrote down that I'd like to share. The souls of all men belong to God. All of man's hostility and intellectual railings against the truth, this truth, will one day prove fruitless, futile, and foolhardy. God was not created, therefore God cannot be deconstructed. God was not elected, therefore he cannot be deposed. His throne is not now, nor has it ever been under threat of a coup. No one's taken the throne from my king. And here, on the threshold of biblically significant times, it's so good to be reminded that God still reigns and he is ultimately in charge. What a terrible and awful thought that an impossibly hot, unconscious mass exploded for no reason 13.8 billion years ago and continues to expand until this very day. The Big Bang is a big thud without an extreme level of faith in the statistically implausible thought that the universe, as is currently observed through scientific means, could have taken place on its own, and from chaos has come symmetry, balance, order, laws, subatomic particles, art, philosophy, birds, beasts, and every other living thing, and ultimately man. And according to scientists, for no reason at all. And even if science observes the what and the how, it cannot tell me why. And my soul longs for why. And as I search for why ultimately becomes a who. Who would do this? More so, who could do this? And as my soul searches and my soul begins to awaken to a supernatural reality that I am not here by myself and I am not some accidental cosmic expansion. I am not the product of an accidental collision of heat and mass and particles. I am not the product of happenstance. I am not evolution. I am revelation. For this world, in fact, the whole of creation, known and unknown, was willed into existence by the living God. And I and you are his unique creative expression. I exist to bring glory to the invisible God. Our lives are an unfolding revelation of the greatness of God. We are the highest of earth's creation, and we have eternal values. And if our days on this earth ended right now, our true lives would begin immediately anew in a place called heaven. A place where I am already known, a place where I have a house not made with hands, where the master carpenter Jesus has already etched my name on the door. And one day I will see him face to face, and I will hug him and thank him for saving me when I wasn't worthy to be saved. And I'll praise his name, and I will declare with the angels, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, and the highest of praise and the hallelujah of hallelujahs belongs to our God. And if you feel like joining with me in one great glorious worship, then you are welcome right now to give him a praise. One day I'm going to heaven. Trouble won't last always. The tears will be wiped from my eyes, and the pain will leave my body. And one day I will see my King face to face. I'm going somewhere. Talk about me if you want to. Whisper about me if you have to. But I'm not from here, and I'm not staying here. I was created by an eternal God, and there is more to who I am than what you see. Heaven, the gathering place for all the saints of God, the place of unspeakable joy. And I will dwell in a house not made with hands. I hope you're my neighbor. I said, I hope you're my neighbor. So we can talk about the goodness of God. I'm gonna lean out my window. I'm gonna say, hey, Patricia, girl, you remember when we were in Houston on 59 heading south? And that 18-wheeler cut us off, but God kept us on the road because we had a purpose. Then I'm gonna look out that window and say, hey, Johnny McGowan, remember when we were serving alongside Pastor Joel Osteen in some of the greatest days in the history of the church? And we were there with Dr. Paul and Pastor Lisa and Mama Dodie and Pastor Nick and all of the other saints of God. Can you believe God chose us? And now we all live in the same city together. Is anybody excited about going?
Favored, blessed, loved. Do these words describe your life? As a believer, they should. TBN wants to help you step into your royal standing and see yourself the way God sees you with John Gray's new 3-CD series, Mirror Image, Living as a Reflection of the Creator. In it, Pastor John reveals your true worth in God's eyes. We'll send you your own copy of John Gray's 3-CD series, Mirror Image, in appreciation for your gift of support to TBN today. And with your generous gift of just $125 or more, we'll also include the Frequency series from Pastor Robert Morris, along with Priscilla Shire's book, Discerning the Voice of God. See yourself as God sees you, whole, healed, and free. Share and request your copy of John Gray's 3-CD set, Mirror Image, with your gift of support. Or John's 3-CD set plus Priscilla Shire's book, Discerning the Voice of God, and Robert Morris's book and CD-DVD teaching series, Frequency, for your gift of just $125 or more. Call, click, or write today.
I'm royalty. I rock my purple tonight. I guess my wife says, baby, that's not purple. That's more eggplant. But I'm a man. It's purple to me. Because purple is symbolic of royalty. And even though I don't feel much like royalty most days, I am nevertheless born royal. Because I was spoken from the mouth of the highest king that has ever existed. And out of his mouth and heart and from the substance of his hands, he created me. Yes, me. With all of my frailties and imperfections. Yes, me. He chose me out of the ashes and the depths of broken places and failed dreams and bad decisions. And he still said, you and I will raise you up for such a time as this. And the same way God did it for me, he's doing it in this church right now. And for those who are online and those who are listening, God calls to you tonight and says, rise into the highest place of authority. Wake up and never apologize for who I created you to be. You are royal. Oh. I haven't done it in a while, but I feel it. Praise, break. I am royal, and I'm royalty because of what Jesus did. Amen. Jesus, Scotty. I love saying his name, Jesus. That's the only reason we're here in these green chairs, Jesus. That's the only reason we have hope, Jesus. That's the only reason we're able to wake up in the morning and keep going, Jesus. It's the only thing that's keeping my marriage together, Jesus. It's the only thing keeping us from utter chaos, Jesus. It's the only thing that's keeping that disease from taking us out, Jesus. It's the only thing keeping my mind, Jesus. It's the only thing that grandma used to call on, Jesus. He's the only one, his name. But he didn't just live 33 years. He went to a cross. For the cross turns mere men into immortal conquerors. The cross lifts the weight of sin and pays the price of shame and guilt. And I am forever free. No longer bound. No more chains holding me. My soul is resting. It's just a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free. The cross of Christ is my liberty. Amen. And it is in the cross. And at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the days. It's at the cross that I see myself as I actually am. And it is at the foot of the cross that men will find their greatest purpose. For it is at the cross that we will see and reveal the true character of who Jesus is. For the cross reveals the utter depravity of the human condition. But not only that, it also reveals the confounding, unending love of our Heavenly Father. What kind of God would sacrifice so much for those of us who have given so little? Why would God give his son for me? What was God thinking, knowing what I would do, the times that I would fail, the times that I would pray, the times that I would cry, the times he would deliver me only for me to go back to the very thing that he delivered me from? And any other thinking person would have left me to my own devices. Anybody else would have said, I'm tired of getting you out of that. But here, every morning, new mercy, every morning, new favor, every morning, new covering. Is there anybody glad that God has not given up on you? I don't know about you, but I know who I am and what I could do at my worst moment. And God says, even there, I'll catch you, I'll grab you, I'll clean you up. I got a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old. My little daughter is brilliant, and she's basically, now she's potty trained. She goes to the pot. She knows what to do, and she handles her business. My son, he's still working through that thing. He's, you know, it's taking him a second. You know, it'll be, I'll smell it. Then he'll be like, hey, I got a poopity. I'm like, oh, you missed it, buddy. I'm always looking for my wife. I'm like, Av, where you at? Av and Tur. She, I know she hears me. She doesn't say anything. She just want me to be down there just struggling. I just get all kinds of, oh, it's on my hand. I preach, Jesus. Why would you let me do this? I serve your people. Look at this. He nasty. While I'm cleaning him up, he's sitting there smiling. And I want to put him in the garbage next to the diaper. Just both of y'all get in there and stay there. So sick of you. But I realized that he can't help it. And because he's my baby, if it happens again tonight, I'm going to be there. And I'm going to clean him up. And I say, we'll get it right tomorrow, buddy. And if he messes up tomorrow, I'll be like, it's all right. We're gonna get it right tomorrow, buddy. And then on Saturday, it's all right. We'll get it right tomorrow, until tomorrow turns into today and he gets it on his own and he's able to stand on his own. But until then, his daddy's gonna be right there. And if that's what I do with my son's mess, how many of us know that's what God does in our mess? Every time we fail, he says, it's all right. We'll clean it up. We'll start again tomorrow. But I messed up again. It's all right. I'll clean you. New mercy, fresh wind, fresh oil. I'll cleanse you with the blood of my son. I'll put a robe of righteousness on you. Go out there. A just man falls 7 times, but he gets back up. Don't quit. Keep going. And even if I fall tomorrow, even there, I'll be right here, because you look like me and you came from me, and I love you too much to leave you in your mess. Why does God love me so much? Have you ever thought about that? Come on, tell the truth. You know you. Somebody like, no, I can understand why he loves me, because, I mean, I'm amazing. I never sin. I'm perfect. I worship him. I dance. I serve him every morning. I have a prayer room. I have a war room. I've got post-it notes and stickies. It's just me and God. We just worship. It's amazing. Good for you. The rest of us still have a little spirit of turn up on us. Every now and then, you put the right song on, you're going to see me before Jesus. Oh, I'm sorry, Jesus. Now that's one word worth grabbing hold of and never letting go. See, the enemy wants to use the areas of struggle, weakness, and pain you deal with to convince you that God is displeased with you and couldn't possibly love you. But there is nothing further from the truth. God sees you, but he doesn't just see you. He sees you through the lens of his son. He sees you through the blood of Christ. He filters us through the righteousness of his son. He loves you even while you are going through the process, and when you get to the other side of it, and before you even started it. That is the all-encompassing love of our Heavenly Father. This is why we're so passionate about bringing you content that encourages you. It's so easy to grab a hold of a lie, and it's so hard to embrace the truth. The truth is, God loves you, and his plan for you is unwavering, and his love for you is relentless and unfailing. But the enemy whispers lies. But it's time for you to hold on to the truth. I'm speaking life to you. You're going to live. You're going to make it. And I need you to get this new series, Mirror Image, Living as a Reflection of the Creator. We're going to send it to you as a gift to show you we are grateful for your willingness to sow your seed into the kingdom of God. You can call that number on your screen now, now, now. Call it right now, now, now. Or you can log on to the website to get your copy right away. It's time for you to experience the benefits that come with knowing your royalty in Christ. Let me tell you something about royalty. Royalty doesn't have to yell. Royalty can whisper, because royalty has people that are waiting for them to speak so things can move. Do you know, because of who you are in Christ, when you speak, God will dispatch his angels to begin to move on your behalf as what you declare lines up with his word? Do you know how much power you have in your mouth? You better start declaring. You better start speaking. Power of death and life is in the tongue. Your marriage can turn around. Your children can get saved. Your job situation can shift. God can release you from debt. Oh, yes, he can. He can heal your body. He ain't just Jesus from over 2,000 years ago. He's still great and mighty right now. You might as well start shouting in your house, because I feel the Holy Ghost. Do you know that you're an heir and a joint heir with Christ Jesus? And when he died, we died. And when he rose, we rose. And we've overcome the world, death, hell, and the grave. Get your spirit revved up. This was your moment.
Favored, blessed, loved. Do these words describe your life as a believer? They should, because you were created in the mirror image of God and have a royal identity in him. TBN wants to help you step into your royal standing and see yourself the way God sees you with John Gray's new 3-CD series, Mirror Image, Living as a Reflection of the Creator. In it, Pastor John reveals your true worth in God's eyes and shows you how understanding his view of you can open God's wonderful promises so you may confidently receive all he has for you. We'll send you your own copy of John Gray's 3-CD series, Mirror Image, in appreciation for your gift of support to TBN today.
You know how God puts certain people in your life and every time you see them, you walk away feeling blessed and encouraged? Well, Pastor Robert Morris is one of those people for me. I've been so blessed to be able to preach at his church and spend some quality time with him. And let me tell you this, he's a man of God, a man of great integrity and profound Holy Spirit wisdom. And the man knows how to bring the word. That's why I want you to request a few of his resources that TBN has put together for you today. This month, in addition to my series, Mirror Image, you can request Pastor Robert's Frequency Collection. This teaching series and book will blow you away. Trust me, you need this touch from God in your life. So call today and ask the person on the other end of the line to rush you Mirror Image and Frequency. I can assure you, your spirit will thank you.
With your generous gift of just $125 or more, we'll also include two additional resources from two of TBN's most popular teachers. You'll receive the Frequency Series from Pastor Robert Morris, along with Priscilla Shire's book, Discerning the Voice of God. These can empower you to better understand how to recognize God's voice, discern the general voice of God from the specific voice of God, and enjoy a growing relationship with the Lord by developing consistent time in His Word. See yourself as God sees you, whole, healed, and free. Share and request your copy of John Gray's 3-CD set, Mirror Image, with your gift of support. Or John's 3-CD set plus Priscilla Shire's book, Discerning the Voice of God, and Robert Morris's book and CD-DVD teaching series, Frequency, for your gift of just $125 or more. Call, click, or write today.
I want to thank you for spending time in the Word of God with me today. I want to let you know that I personally put a lot of prayer and study and effort in getting this word, and TBN has put all of their creative genius in bringing that content together to be a blessing to you, content that helps you to be victorious in every area of your life. Not only is God interested in your victories, but he's also interested in using you to help someone else live a blessed life. No seed you sow into TBN to keep Jesus' words going out worldwide is insignificant in his sight. We know that everybody comes with different financial abilities. So our prayer is not that you sow a particular amount, but that you sow whatever he's put in your heart to sow. For our Father counts it as precious, and so do we. Because there are some people who would never have heard the gospel if it wasn't for people like you. Do me a favor, send a gift, and be generous because God's been generous with you and I. And when you sow, we're going to send you my new series, Mirror Image. I can assure you it's going to be a source of great strength and encouragement as you meditate on the promises of God concerning your identity in Jesus. Then prepare to rule and reign, not just in life, but in your spirit as you manifest the blessings of God. Hey, I love you. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you next time right here on John Gray's World. God bless. You know how we do. You do it. Boop!